You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Yesterday, we republished on National Vanguard two very thoughtful essays, one by Giles Corey and the other by Dr. Thomas Dalton, on ways that whites can move forward in these dangerous and revolutionary times. The National Alliance, the sponsor of this program and this online magazine, does not necessarily endorse everything in those pieces, but they are well done. They provide practical suggestions, some of which we can add to the arsenal of what the National Alliance is already doing. Our readers deserve to see them, and all of us who love our race and want to see it continue need to start a conversation, well begun by Dr. Dalton and Mr. Corey. Mr. Corey says he is a Christian, but to his great credit, he acknowledges that organized Christianity, along with the Republican Party, is leading the charge of white dispossession. How true. We saw a powerful example of that just this week, when Dan Cathy, the very Christian CEO of the fast food pushing Chick-fil-A company, much beloved by conservatives, Christians, and Republicans, said in a television interview that whites should apologize to non-whites, repent for racism, and fight for our black brothers and sisters. He added, quote, "We as Caucasians, until we're willing to just pick up the baton and fight for our black African-American brothers and sisters, which they are as one human race, we're shameful." Close quote. He followed that up by literally bowing down and washing the feet of a black rapper who was also a guest on the program. This is the same man who probably garnered millions in dead chicken sales from whites when he rather faintly pushed back against homosexual marriage a few years ago. He's learned his lesson well and now proudly supports an LGBTQPXYZ plus charity, saying his Christian faith informs all of his decisions on such matters. This is surrender. This is capitulation. This is abandonment of his own people, who are about to be immolated and enslaved even more than they have been already. This is treason. Clearly, his Christian faith is a bulwark against nothing. My late friend and broadcaster, Richard Cotton, once told me how he was educated on this point by our mutual friend, the writer and scholar Revelo P. Oliver. Cotton began his resistance to white dispossession and Jewish power from a Christian conservative position. When the churches started to make it obvious that they were taking up the anti-white, pro-communist side, he co-founded the Committee of Christian Laymen of Kern County, California. He even called his radio program, which at its height was heard all across North America on dozens of commercial radio stations, conservative viewpoint. back in the 1960s, when he was designing a newsletter to be sent out to his listeners and supporters, Mr. Cotton told Dr. Oliver that he wanted to underscore the fundamentals of what he was fighting for by featuring the words Christ and the Constitution on the masthead. "No," Dr. Oliver replied. "Race." Cotton hesitated and then said tentatively, "Christ, the Constitution, and race?" "No, race." "Christ and race?" "Race." And so it was. For that alone is what is truly fundamental. Race alone. Thanks to Revelo Oliver, even more than a half century ago, far ahead of conservatives then or conservatives now, Richard Cotton received an awakening, a speed education, if you will, in who we truly are and what we must preserve in order to survive. Absent such an understanding, we are food on the table to those of other races who do understand, either intellectually or instinctively, what we, in our Christian and propositional folly, fail to grasp. Nothing matters more than projecting your blood, your genes, your progeny into the future forever. If you fail in that, you fail in everything. No religion, no economic system, no parchment constitution, not even great artistic or cultural achievements mean a thing absent racial survival, absent survival of our kind. If you think that free enterprise for brown people or traditional marriage with a non-feminist and non-white Filipina or sound money for a nest of third worlders, good luck with that, are worthy goals, you're headed straight for the graveyard. The only thing that can save you from the graveyard of the failed and the forgotten is white children. Children of your own kind who will carry on when you, as an individual, are gone. If, after seeing the statues of anyone or anything in the European tradition come down over the last few weeks, you still think that Trey Shante and Jesus and Goldstein are going to treasure, much less carry on, the traditions of European science and music and art and freedom in any meaningful way, you're certifiable. And even if they did somehow carry them on, who cares if we have no descendants to expand and evolve those traditions and accomplishments? Who cares? Something great, something immortal, something sacred, something partaking of the will of the Creator, and may I say, a most important part of that will, will be dead. Our destiny, our future, will be dead. Earth may well descend toward being a lifeless orb with no chance for life to seed the stars. The stakes are indeed that great. Awaken, and if you are already awakened, act before it is too late. In Dr. Dalton's piece, He says, quote, "We need not worry excessively about who counts as white. In the vast majority of cases, it is obvious. Those whose ancestry derives from indigenous European peoples and nations. There are ambiguous cases, such as Ukraine, Belarus, and Russia, that deserve more discussion. More important, though, is who is not white. Jews are not white, despite their own frequent proclamations to the contrary. Arabs or other Middle Easterners are not white. Hispanics and Latinos are not white. White is not simply a matter of skin color. It is also a question of heritage, of worldview, of culture, and of values. Don't be fooled by light skin or blonde hair." Close quote. We must address the often thorny question of who is white. In our urgent plight, we must definitively exclude all Jews who, despite some sincere defectors, are a self-declared enemy race. Some people from the non-Jewish parts of the Middle East look entirely European, and a million kudos to them for keeping their bloodlines pure. But there are potential problems with accepting them into our ranks. How many have had relatives marry obvious Semites who share their country and Abrahamic faith, whether it be Maronite or Muslim or some other? How does that divide loyalties? How does that weaken the racialism which must be the basis of our society in the making? What about allegiance to Islam, an ideology hostile to racial integrity? We already have one Abrahamic religion honeycombed into our society with its own hostile ideology, its own loyalties. Do we really want another? I am sure that some exceptions can be made here, but not many. I do believe, as Dr. Pierce came to believe, that it is biological race that matters, not nationality. All people of unmixed European descent, no matter where they or their ancestors resided, except Israel, were and are eligible for National Alliance membership. Dr. Pierce even made exceptions for those with a small amount of Amerindian admixture, low enough for the variations not to be visible, to be down in the genetic noise. And anyone, regardless even of race, can support us. Not every non-white hates us or wishes for our demise. Believe me, I know. The true Hispanics of the Americas, who are of entirely European appearance and genetics, at least as much as white Americans in the U.S., should be welcomed into our struggle. As should those of every indigenous European national background. Anything else is throwing away allies, throwing away a chance for as much of a united front as we can make, throwing away millions of Anglo-Americans who will be repulsed and justifiably angered if totally European-descended Uncle Fred isn't allowed into the community. The purpose of the race that is to bring into being the race that is to come. Let's concentrate on that. Let's concentrate on being the ones who decide that. I have been in this cause of ours for nearly 40 years. I have seen and heard and read so much wasted verbiage about why Russians or Eastern Europeans generally, or Southern Europeans generally, or even other odd subracial or national combinations should be read out of the white race. I have heard it all, so please don't repeat it to me. I'm sick of it. the group or groups which coalesce to save our endangered race will be the ones who determine its genetic future. Beyond the obvious aesthetic that we know white when we see it, and a future that can include but not be totally ruled by accurate genetic testing, that's all we need to know. If the white future is primarily Russian or Hungarian, so be it. If the white future is primarily pan-European American with strong German, Anglo, and Irish components, so be it. If the white future is predominantly Greek or Italian or Bulgarian or Nordic, so be it. None of us are in a position to pick and choose right now, nor does such picking and choosing make sense during this crisis. Let's just admit that every single group and subgroup of Europeans has racially devolved due to dysgenics, due to genetic drift, due to past mixtures. Let's just admit that every single white nationality could be, and if we have anything to say about it, will be helped by a healthy dose of eugenics. But never forget this. We are targeted and marked for death as whites. It is as whites, not as dolichocephalic red Nordids or paleo-Atlantids or Western Europeans only, that we must become awakened and fight back.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe. the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war. Earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. when I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are. Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of us, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into our Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people, and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.